Blog Talk Radio. got the fire down below.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Let me know if you can, because I've had a little microphone trouble, but fortunately I had lots of great music to play while I had that going on. Hey, this is Madam Perry, your cruise director, spiritual counselor, groove mistress, and just general person that loves you no matter what, unless you're mean to a dog or just a real jerk. But Maybe you can't help it. Maybe you've got some issues that you need to work out, and we can get some help for that, I hope. All right. So tonight we're just going to talk about different kinds of things. What's on your mind? What is on your mind? Is it the post-election, the midterm results? Is it weather? Is it global warming? Is it something that your neighbor's done that they just can't stop annoying you? You know, if it's not one thing, it's your mother. So call the number 716. Hey. Hang on. 646-716-9922. And my fabulous sister, sister up north, the gorgeous, and I'm talking gorgeous, Marilyn Opitz. Hey.
Thank you so much. Hi, how are
Thank you?
Thank
you. Good. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear can you just fine. I didn't think you could hear. I didn't know if you could hear me or not.
Oh, no. I was going to give the number to call so people could join you.
Okay.
And I went ahead and punched you in right away, so because probably before should, because I couldn't wait to talk to you because I'm so glad you're here. Yay! Meryl. Also, if you're going through lots of situations right now, whatever it is that you want to call up here and talk about, and I've also got some new music to play by tonight's sponsors, but not only is Marilyn's one of the most gorgeous, most fantastic and fun ladies I know, but she has her own business. She's she can tell you, and she's a makeup artist, skincare specialist, and maybe she can tell me what kind of do I need to change my makeup for the season, or do I need to change it like for different activities coming up? Like say I've got to maybe I'm going to a protest. Do I need to change my makeup for that, or do I need to change it for like I'm trying to get somebody's sympathy? Do I need, how can I look more innocent or something? So that's all, but we can get to that later because I want you to have time to think about it, for me. But anybody coming up, what's on your mind, Marilyn?
What isn't on my mind? Well, I'm relieved that the election is over. I'm definitely relieved at that. It's very intense when you live in the D.C. area. It's the midterms or the presidential. I live, the D.C. area is Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. So we see Virginia ads. We see here Maryland ads. Sometimes we see, ads for things that have to do with the Maryland state and governor and senators and all those things. And we have to hear about Virginia's.
I never thought about that.
We get those commercials, yes. And then national things that are happening and, national news are based here and things that are like all of our TV shows, whether you want them to be or not, are blocked, whether something's going on.
You're nestled into snug into quite a broad broadcast hub right there then, aren't you?
Yes. Yes.
Gosh, I never thought about that.
And my family has lived here for generations, and none of us have ever had anything to do with the government. So we're here. It's just kind of funny how kind of ended up here, and a lot of us stayed here. So, but I would say just like in Hollywood, there's people who work in the movies or people who work for the movies. So I work for, most of my clients are people who work in, if I'm doing hair and makeup, I'm doing people who work in the government, for the government, or contractors for the government, one way or the other, I've had to learn about how a lot of things work and, companies that, let's say a drug research company that's hired by NIH, they might have an executive, that might be one of my clients, but everything is based on how the federal government works, That's like our cash stream. Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, and all those are all here. So, it's in one way or the other, they affect everything.
That's very interesting. I never thought about it like that.
Yes. Oh, yes. It's like when the government was, when they were threatening to ever shut down the government, it's like when they threatened to shut down a factory in a small town,
Oh my gosh.
Everybody gets nervous and they, people put off their hair appointments and they put off their, nail appointments and put off all that stuff because they don't know, and then all of a sudden when things don't go okay, then they remake them again. you don't think about it.
No, not at all. So I'm glad you shared that insight with us.
Now the high up people, they're not affected because they're rolling in whatever. But the regular, middle class people who are, say middle management or lower to middle class who might be in, administrative, those kinds of things. The people who are actually keeping those things going. those are the ones who would get let go if things are, you know, or laid off and or put off or leave for a certain amount of time. So those are the people who get the most, you know, that have the tough time in general. You know,
yeah.
Kinds of things. So, you know, it's always a relief when it's over, and whatever side you're on. And of course, this year was very important, and a lot of people had opinions on it.
That's true. And there was oh my gosh. Then on top of that, you get the onslaught up there of all the ads, both ways.
Yes,
you know, and everybody's slinging mud or whatever.
Yeah, all around the beltway. All around the beltway, whether if you're in Maryland, the news goes to everybody around the beltway. So, I was so sick of hearing about this one ad for this one woman running in Virginia, but she's been kind of doing it, I think, every year, every 2 years or something. And, oh, I was just like, you know, they started her ad almost like 10 months ago.
And, good grief.
You know how people go back and forth, you know. One of the funniest skits I ever saw was I don't know how long ago this was, but it was two guys, and I don't know if it was from a nighttime talk show, but they both were supposed to be candidates that were running against each other, and they were going door to door, and one guy would knock on the door and be like, "Hi, you know, I'm so-and-so. I'm running against so-and-so. He's the biggest creep in town. He, you know," and he's like hurling insults. And then 5 minutes later, the other guy goes and knocks on the same door and says, "Oh, you know, I'm so-and-so, I'm running in so-and-so," you know, and then he hurls a whole bunch of other insults to the other guy. And then the other guy's waiting on the lawn, and they end up breaking out into a fist fight. And meanwhile, the guy's standing at the door like, "What?" You know, like, what? And it was so funny. I wish I could think of the, you know, what show that was. That's pretty much what it gets to be, you know. I'm sure it's that way in every region, too, you know, when from one ad to the next, and they get, as the election gets closer, they get dirtier and dirtier. Insults more and more. Yeah. I just think of that one skit, and it kind of keeps the humor in my mind of it, you know, because the world's gonna keep turning, you know, but we want to make it so that it keeps turning the right way for everybody, you know.
Yeah.
You
as it should.
So.
For all.
For all of us.
Yeah,
it can be very intense. And especially, you know, even here now, like, we'll have holiday parties and everybody who lives around the Beltway will have an opinion about things. And, Christmas, I mean, I'm sure the last few years, the Christmas and holidays have been, you know, interesting for everybody, because you may have different people in the family or whatever, but especially in D.C., we have friends who are, you know, former newscasters, so they've worked on different things, so we see them, and they have, you know, they've worked with certain people and know certain people, so they have, you know, different kind of opinion than someone who'd never met them before. Quite interesting, you know, hearing things from that the inside dirt, you know.
Seriously.
I'm trying to protect. Since I have to see people on Thanksgiving dinner, I don't want to get in trouble. I'm trying not to spill the beans too much, you know. Fill you in, but you know, it can get interesting, you know. It can get interesting, but you know, there's a lot of things happened in the past couple of years. Me Too, and lots of it's very interesting to see what's been happening as a result of, you know, just the last couple of years. You know, things coming out, and it's actually quite interesting because with my company, we have a foundation that helps survivors of childhood sexual abuse, and a portion of all of our profits go to that foundation. And we have a retreat, and we also have a preventative things that help families. So, you know, when I first 2 years ago, people weren't talking about, you know, that this topic, and it was very awkward. And it was all, you know, but now if people are saying, well, you know, me too, this something happened to me or something happened to my friend, and, you know, there's a conversation about it, about trying to prevent it, or even just people talking about it in the workplace or wherever, you know, it makes it a little easier, you know, to discuss.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, that's the thing. It's like sometimes things happen in a way that, you know, people don't want them to, or we don't want them to, or somebody else doesn't want to, and they feel very strongly about it. But then again, it can
it brings more awareness.
Cause, yeah, to another effect like that.
Yeah.
For example,
yeah.
If it hadn't been for you know, Kelly Oxford, who began the Me Too movement, and with the hashtag
exactly.
Me Too. And
right.
Especially the thing, and once all this started, and once it took one person to have the courage to say, to talk, to speak out about Harvey Weinstein, and somebody
asked me,
that's, and this is somebody
right.
I'm going to be with at Thanksgiving, said, was talking about, you know, Matt Lauer said, who was it, Katie Couric said that he was always pinching herself. Well, if she didn't like it, why didn't she just quit? Well, why should she
right.
have to quit a job that she wants? She wanted this
right.
job. She worked for this job.
For,
she's good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why
yes.
should she have to quit a job just because this guy can't act like an adult? Because he has to act like a.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
exactly.
He has to be a jerk. And of course, then
yeah.
again, if she leaves, then she can't get a reference, because it'll always be, oh, well, she's difficult to work with and won't say why, so she'll never get
exactly.
a good reference. But
exactly.
yeah, that's what I think. Why should she?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Exactly. Why could she? And it makes you wonder, because you remember how in the, you know, in the 70s or 80s, or there are different times where certain actresses would say they would fire somebody off of a show. And, you know, sometimes in the case of certain people, they'd say, oh, if they were asking for too much money. But now, of course, we now see the star power, like, you know, a show like Friends, where they say, you know, look, we're all worth this much money. We're all in this together, where that wouldn't have happened in another time. They just would have said, oh, this actually, these people are difficult. But there were so many, you look at so many shows, so many actresses where they say, oh, she was just difficult, or she was temperamental, or she was this. Or if you see the result of all those kid actors, there were some kid actors you can see they turned out okay and they didn't have any problems. And of course, if they had a good support, you know, family or good education or whatever. But then you can see, I still think of all those child actors from the show Different Strokes. I think what was going on that set. That each one of the kids from that situation either died, had drug problems, or they were trying to heal some sort of a wound and got messed up somehow, you know. And we will always look at those kids, oh, they're all these child actors, they're so messed up, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, and then now it comes out that there are things were going on. And you know, it's shocking, but at the same time, as long as, you know, we're talking about it, I just read an article in Vogue magazine that they've now said, nope, we're not going to hire any more models under 18, and they're not going to, you know, they're going to make sure that, you know, there's more, you know, less long hours. They're not left, models aren't left alone with photographers. There's so many things like that. It's changed. It's changing the industry because, you know, Brooke Shields was 13, you know, 12 and 13, and, you know, the Calvin Klein ads and different things. And then it just became the norm. So, you know, it's interesting how those things have, you know, by having that dialogue and somebody having the courage and people speaking out, it is changing things, but at the same time, you know, it's changing things for good because people aren't going to put up with bad behavior, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we've had to, and now all of a sudden, because it could ruin your own, you know, you'd be ruining your own career, your own reputation if you spoke up. Nobody believes you.
Exactly.
And the old, you know, the male boys club would cover for each other and go, he didn't mean it. I'm sure this guy wouldn't do that. He's a family.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah.
And you know he did. But it's easier to get rid of the woman and ruin her reputation if you need her thing. So that's a good. So now people have become speaking out and our voices are growing stronger. And that's good. And even men, too. Men have been abused.
Oh, yeah.
So,
it's interesting. Yeah, certain people, certain men are coming out talking about certain working for certain people too, and certain things that they put up with, and that they were silent about and afraid to talk about, and afraid that people would judge them. And, you know, there's a door that is open, that, you know, that it's not going to be closed, you know. And, you know, it's very interesting to see that dynamic. You know, I heard someone say that if, you know, Trump hadn't said the things he said in his when he was on the, you know, when that tape first came out, that there wouldn't have been a Me Too, because people wouldn't have been so, you know, upset about what he had said and start talking about what happened to them, you know. But actually, she had started that, I think the woman who started Me Too, that actually was even, it was something like in 2009, but it was somehow it got cut off again in the past 2 years with the Weinstein thing, Bill Cosby and Weinstein. But I think it was way before any of this had happened, so which is kind of fascinating too, that but somehow, either she had started that hashtag or started something, but it just wasn't, you know, not much attention was paid at that time, you know.
Right.
So, but you know, it's very interesting how things are. You know, I grew up, you know, even before the Green in D.C. was going to protest with my older siblings when they were teenagers, and I was a little wee one, and. Is some of the same things that they were freaking out about that people were still freaking out about, you know, people being treated equally and, you know, those kinds of things. And it's kind of shocking that I would have thought we would have evolved by now. I'm still thinking about that flying car, you know. I'm not thinking about this stuff anymore, you know.
We were supposed to have flying cars by now. So, hey,
yeah.
If you want to talk with me in Maryland, call up here. 646-716-9922. 646-716-9922. Talk with me, Madam Perry, at Maryland Opus. Or you can call me Jennifer Perry or Jen. And speaking of, I've got the information there from their this was from an article by Jonathan Mahler in New York Times back on October 10, 2016. He's talking about the title was "For Many Women, Trump's Locker Room Talk Brings Memories of Abuse." And he says, it was the author Kelly Oxford, a social media powerhouse, who got things started on Friday night. "Women, tweet me your first assault," she wrote on Twitter at 7:48 p.m. They aren't just stats. I'll go first. And she says, "Old man on city bus grabs my pussy, smiles at me. I'm 12. When she first posted the message, she said later, she did not expect more than a handful of replies. She says, nobody's going to share anything on Twitter. Now, that she started that at 7:48 p.m. on a Friday night. Mm-hmm. Yet by Saturday morning, she was getting as many as 50 responses per minute.
Wow.
And by Monday afternoon, nearly 27 million people had responded or visited her Twitter page. Whoa.
Right. Yeah. It's incredible. Yeah. Oh, and they're just a lot of micro, I call it, like, sometimes it might not be all the way as bad as one thing, as someone's one other person's story, but there's a lot of microaggressions.
Yeah.
You know, and it's that way with race. It's that way with a lot of things that happen in our lives. That, like just recently, I was on the bus and it was a crowded bus, and I was kind of pushed towards the back, and I was trying to just, you know, get to the door, get to my stop, and there was this man that literally, because we're so crowded, but there was enough room. He kept trying to lean on into me. And I'm moving like an inch away, you know, like, and I'm almost like falling off the step down onto the door, you know, trying to get away from this, you know, and I try, you know, and you try in that moment, you don't want to, you know, what do you say? You don't want to cause a scene. This person's bigger, you know, any minute now we're going to get to my stop and I can just get off and not have a conflict, you know, but it's just that little thing. That if I was a man, would he be doing that? You know, who knows? You know, but it was a kind of like those kinds of things where you just like someone keeps trying to, you know, you're just trying to like give me my personal space back. I deserve this. You know?
Yeah. Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Just like I noticed all the panhandlers.
It doesn't happen
every downtown.
Day, you know?
Yeah. Panhandlers will hit up women, but they won't bother men. Especially, and there's a lot of them downtown Atlanta.
Yeah.
But they'll always come to women. I always say, let me see you ask a man for money first and then ask me. But I want to see you ask a man. You never ask men, just women. I guess they figure we'll be so scared, we'll just give them some money to get rid of them. And some, and a lot of times it works.
Right.
So,
But,
that's
a very, but it's where they get to a point where it's a little too much, you know. Making you feel guilty, and or sometimes it can be if you don't give them something, then the harassment begins too. So it's a difficult that is such a difficult situation. It's a tough people don't realize the stuff that goes on if you don't live in a city. You know how you get desensitized to that. One minute you feel sorry for somebody, but then the next minute when there's that kind of, when you can see that kind of manipulation kind of going on, I like I said, I'm just relieved that it's, you know, certain things are over with. You know, we have a little bit of a fresh start, even though I caught a little bit of today's thing, and that was a little crazy, you know, the press conference. And
which one? I didn't catch anything on TV today because I was.
Well, it was on the. They were showing it on the here on Facebook. On Facebook too. Apparently Trump had a press conference where he's discussing the election and discussing things, and then the people were asking him, and he actually got into an argument with one of the CNN reporters and insulting him, and it was very intense. And I know that there's somebody who is a Trump supporter could look at that and go, oh, that guy, that reporter deserves it. And then my friends who are on the blue side say, oh, you know, they stuck up for themselves, and he was giving them a hard time, and they stood their ground against him, you know. And so, there's just two different ways of people to look at something, and they see it completely different point of view. I can look at things one way and see it my way, and then I can good friend can look at it and say, well, I see it like this, and I'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe you don't, you don't see it my way, even though we're friends, so you just kind of, it's kind of interesting how, so you can call different versions of the news, but it's really how everybody brings their own thoughts and their own opinions into how they see the same thing, For their own, it's their own, prejudices about the situation or their own feelings about, all of it.
Well, you know what? I want to tell you about something else. And folks, if you're listening live, remember you can call in to talk with me and Marilyn, or just hang out and have fun with us. If you're just sitting around with a glass of wine or whatever you have and just listening to us and enjoying, that's fine too. First, let me tell you the music that I played in the beginning. I started off with Ray
cool
Daffrico. Thanks, Ray Daffrico. Ray Daffrico, his song "Something in the Night." Let me tell you, I've invited him, but he's probably exhausted. He's worked very, very, very hard on Stacey Abrams' campaign for most of the years, and he's probably resting. That was a song from him. After that, I played Pound of the Baskervilles by Poplock Holmes. I love it because I love steampunk and I love that song. After that, I played a song by Hollis Brown. And Hollis Brown is run. That song was called Run Right to You. And the last one was by Daryl Rhodes. And it's called I've Got the Devil in My Pants. Daryl Rhodes. He's a...
That's funny.
And And Daryl's got a new CD out, and he's got a video he's making. I did a little background or audience scene with for one piece of it. I don't know what's going to happen. But I want to get back to Showbiz Kids in just a minute. But first, I got a couple of sponsors. You know what? There's a group, SJR Media Group, and they've told me about the Campaign of Love. And let me read it to you because they said it best. The Beatles said all you need is love. LTD with Jeffrey Osborne asked for love to the world. And Jackie DeShannon sang what the world needs now in love. Al Green posed, give us more L-O-V-E. And Nicolette Larson said, it's going to take a lot of love. And we could go on about mentioning songs about love. There are more songs written about love than any other subject of interest within human society. And they said, since all the above are correct, Sirius Records, Inc., Sparks Radio Network, in association with SJR Media Group and radio personality Skip the Funktologist, invite everyone to join in and share with the Campaign of Love. And they've got a brand new, it's a little EP, so it's not a full CD. I think it's just a few songs. It's called It's Time for Some Affection. They said the need for more love and affection toward our fellow man has never become more evident. And the release focuses on the four major aspects of love as defined by the Greek language, which includes love for neighbor, love for family, love for friends, and intimate love. And these songs... plays very few love themed songs during his broadcast, but he said he chose these songs because they all found their way into a rare playlist. So I'm trying to play one of these songs, but I'm having trouble getting it converted over to MP3 or WAV file to get on here. But if I can get it to come up, I will play it before the end of the show. And if not, I'll play it on another show, but you will definitely see me sharing it on Facebook. I've shared the Facebook page for the Campaign of Love, and I'll keep sharing it on Facebook and on all of my social media. Yeah. No, I was going to say, speaking about child actors, and, you know, sometimes they were really put through the ringer in so many different ways. And, parents turn such a blind eye. You know, Diane Diamond, the author, she wrote the book Be Careful Who You Love. And it was pretty much about that, the trial of Michael Jackson, an interview with the family. And it seemed like, you know, and this is a typical thing. And this is, you know, and Diane Diamond, I mean, she does a lot of research. But it was like parents just tended to turn a blind eye, you know, once their kids were involved with Michael Jackson. Yeah, they would and then Michael would send the family on a vacation to, you know, Disney World.
Oh, yeah.
Or buy them a gift.
Yeah.
Someone, but last week, I was working on a show.
They never could have afforded.
No. So that somehow the money seemed, I keep thinking, you know, you're sacrificing your child's, you know, your child's pain and emotional development for a few vacations and maybe a car. Last week, I was working on a television show during the week, and it was, I can't say what it was because we had signed a lot of non-disclosure agreements.
Right.
It's a popular show and a great show, and I can't wait till it comes out so I can say, yeah, that was it. But we were shooting at night in the cold. But, you know, the agency that booked us for this, and it's one of the most reputable agencies, not only in Atlanta, but across the country. But I noticed that. Yeah. But the agency that booked us, CARE, and we saw this everywhere, everything that involved children, the minors that were in there, they were kept, them and their guardians or parents were kept in their area. Now, there's a big, you know, dining hall where we all ate. They were all in one section, and we were not to bother them. And we, of course, we'd say hello on set or whatever if we were working with one. But they had their area. They had their – these were their dressing rooms. These were their areas. And they wanted to make sure that they got breaks, they got rest, and they were out, you know, on time. And I thought, you know, it was, I just really was, I felt so much, so good seeing how the agency
thing that
really,
happened. Yeah.
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 Making sure that they weren't. And even how they talked to them when they got them ready for the set, the different assistants, directors would come over, the way they would sit and talk to them, just like friends, you know, getting ready to play a game. Well, and, all right, let's go.
Right.
And it just made me feel so much better. I already knew that I liked this agency, but I liked them even more.
Right. You respect them more because they're handling it the right way. And it's always nice when you see – it's just like when you see parents do something the right way, or you see people handling things the right way. Even when you might be in an elevator alone with a man and he doesn't do something creepy, it's always like, oh, what a relief. You know, it's like when somebody does something the right way, it's always like, okay, that's how it should be done all the time. That's if they all could behave like this, if they're all doing this, then we wouldn't have the problems, you know.
If I see some really well-behaved children in a restaurant or something, you know, or
somewhere,
I like to make a stop point of telling the parents, they have been so delightful to be dining near them, near your family.
Yeah, I always do too. it's always like wonderful.
Of course, because I wonder what a guy would do in an elevator if you got off and said, you know, thanks for not being a creep on the elevator. That made this ride much better. You know, you don't know what they would do. Go, what? Huh?
Yeah, but, they at this day in 2018, they don't know what we're talking about. anything can happen sometimes. And in a couple of minutes, sometimes you just are so relieved that, it was a gentleman. You know, we need to get more gentlemen. Just because we're working next to them doesn't mean, you know, we also have to hold ourselves to a high standard. We're holding ourselves to a high standard. We expect that of them. You know, it's the same thing. And it's the same thing with this agency, you know, and it's good to see. It's really good to see. And that makes you good. Yeah, Atlanta has so many cool things happening now. Atlanta is the hub. My husband, you know, he's an actor part-time, and so he gets things to Atlanta. He's always like, if only I didn't have a full-time job, I could get down to Atlanta and be doing some of these auditions for some of these roles, you know.
That's no kidding. That is no joke. And I was thinking about that earlier. I was going to ask you about your husband. Hey, and you know what? There's another. Let me tell you. I got one more special sponsor tonight. This is guy, and it seemed like this song is kind of timely. His name is Reverend Peter Unger. He's also he's a musician. And of course, you always think of like the youth minister as having a guitar. Well, when I was growing up, the youth minister was a guy with kind of long brown hair. No matter what church or whatever it was always a guy with kind of long brown or sandy brown hair and a guitar, right?
That's
the same guy.
Same guy, no matter where it was. Yep.
Yeah, they always had a guitar. And of course, anytime he spoke, my friend would say, "Yeah," and every teenage girl runs and flings himself upon the altar to be saved. But Reverend Peter Unger, how about some laying on hands prayer? But Reverend Peter Unger is a brunette. He does play guitar. He's a musician. But he has got a fascinating group of songs, and I'm going to be playing some in the next few weeks. But this song, and I wanted to play tonight because the title is especially meaningful to me. It's called Peddlers of Fear. And that's one thing that, you know, a lot of us see people are trying to control us or motivate people with fear, peddlers of fear. I don't like that. So I'm going to play right now Peddlers of Fear by Reverend Peter Unger. I'm going to turn your mic off for just a minute, and mine too.
Okay.
And so if you want to run, get something to drink or put the dog outside with the cat or the husband, and then come right back. And okay? All right.
Breakfast girls gather round him as he reads a book they love and know. Their innocence and laughter warm his heart and fill his ears. They know how the story goes. Secretly he worries what the future holds. shape their coming year. The only pray is that it's not those who sought to be peddlers of fear. Rappers, girls cuddle closer, but they trust in the lobby halls. And as the story ends, they say with eyes that shine, can you read it one more time? Peddlers of fear, peddlers of fear, in troubled times they will appear. Peddlers of fear, peddlers of fear, beware their cry when they come near. Secretly he worries what the future holds and what will shape their coming years. He only prays that it's not those who sought to be peddlers of fear, to be peddlers of fear.
All right, and that was Peddlers of Fear. And I like that the line there about anytime there are troubled times, when there are troubled times, that there will be peddlers of fear. And my friend Marilyn Opitz, a makeup artist and a skincare professional extraordinaire. And, hey, you don't have to be in Maryland to get her tips. She's also on Instagram and Facebook and tell people where they can. You had the best videos. I was like,
oh, thank you. Yeah, you can watch me, Marilyn Opitz, on Facebook. I do Facebook Live. You can message me on Facebook, and I can. I'm now doing virtual makeovers where I help people on video messenger, and so that's a new development. It's really fun. They can use their own makeup, and I can just give them tips. I can watch them do their makeup. I can tell them how to hold the brushes and all that stuff, or what they need to be using, and what they're going to make suggestions, and how they could be doing things better, and in general, it's a really great thing. Plus, I'm doing virtual parties on Facebook, so. You don't have to clean the house anymore, you know. And so it's great. It's a lot of fun, and so I really enjoy the people I've met in the past 2 years with this business. They've just been incredible, and a lot of support. You know, making friends too, is making connections as well as getting to know, you know, what their routines are and helping them with that and, you know, empowering them and seeing them get more confident and just people, even people who might not buy from me, but they just love watching me and we get to become friends. We get to, you know, share, and it's sort of like interactive TV, you know.
Yeah. Let me ask you, though, when you make videos, I know that, you know, you do the interactive videos where people can talk to you sometimes and ask you things.
Mm-hmm.
And, what kind of questions do people ask you most?
It can be
probably more than one
pretty
answer,
much
but
anything. Pretty much anything. You know, a lot of it is, I'd say that so many women are just, they don't experiment enough on their own. So those, sometimes something that's so simple to me, like so many people ask me, I really need to learn how to do a smoky eye. To me, I think that's one of the easiest things in the world to do, is make it look smudgy, you know, and people can do that easily if they just pick up the pencil or pick up the makeup brush and do it, you know. But that's the one thing I always get the most is, how do I do a smoky eye? So, you know, and I'm thinking, well, you can pick up any, to watch any, but there's always those people who, that's the one thing, how to do that.
And also, of course, everybody wants to look younger and wants to look and feel just better. Not even necessarily younger for their age, but just feel like it looks like their best self. You know, there's an age where everybody likes them, you know, felt they look their best, they want to look that age, you know, for the rest. You know, and affordable, you know, and not have it be, you know, thousands of dollars, you know. But that those things are those are the things I get the most questions. But I find that I used to do recording videos, and I actually like the interaction much better. It helps me. I get more relaxed and have more fun. And so it's interesting, but I never experienced the kind of thing where people are watching you on TV because they can watch YouTube, you know, put the Facebook Live through their TV and not just on their phone or their laptop. When they're watching you on TV, you're actually in there coming into their home, you know, like you're a celebrity in a way. And,
well, yeah.
So that's it takes it to another level that I didn't realize. So I have people, you know, saying, or their kids watch too, you know. And they'll say, you know, mommy, I want to see that lady, you know, play with makeup again. Or they, one friend who has a little one, she says, whenever your voice comes on, my son calms down, you know.
Oh, really?
or he'll stop being bad, and he'll listen, he'll, you know, and, yeah, those kinds of things. So it's kind of cute that people watch it with their kids. And that's also why we incorporated, you know, having the, you know, the little puppet in the act sometimes. You know, and something cute, that people, you know, with something funny that people could watch, and it wasn't being like, you know, it's something that we knew that the kids would enjoy too.
Yeah. Hey, Marilyn, we got somebody else in here. Move over. Somebody else is coming here in the genie bottle.
I just have to say, who else is in here?
Hey, welcome once again to Madam Perry Salon. Come on in and say hello.
Hello, Madam Perry.
Hello.
It's Alan Brazington.
Alan, my beloved, my favorite representative from the Planet 9 district.
How are you, darling?
Doing great. Meet my friend Marilyn here. Marilyn, this is
Alan.
Hi,
how are you?
Hi, Marilyn. How are you?
Hi, doing great.
Awesome.
All right, what's on your mind, Alan? How do you feel about any thoughts about the returns, the midterm returns? Anything on your nerves? I'm on your mind about it.
Of course, I'm a Democrat. And so I was pleased. I mean, I think that, you know, advances were made in the election system. And, you know, we picked up Congress. You know, looking like Florida's going to be a recount.
Oh, does it? Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I've been off the grid all day, so.
Very interesting that Trump fired the Attorney General today.
Oh, is it? Boy, I tell you, talk about somebody that I don't know where to begin. All I know is I can't wait to see what Kate McKinnon does with it this weekend.
Oh yeah.
Well, it's gonna be awesome. Last night Nancy Pelosi was saying on TV, "Well, good, maybe now you know Congressional Committee can look at Trump's tax returns."
Yeah, exactly.
But it's interesting to me that the president's reaction is that is let's fire the attorney general who's recused himself and see what happens. I don't know that I've said this to you because unfortunately we've not spent as much time as we used to the last year.
That's true, sadly.
Sadly, we will have to rectify that. But if people will brush up on Watergate and the kind of policies that Nixon and Agnew had, Agnew very much like the current vice president, I mean, the same shit's happening again. Excuse me.
Yeah, that's what I keep telling that to everybody. But back then, all it had to be was the thought that the president had lied was a scandal, you know. And
and they'll learn.
So much,
yeah. Oh, go ahead, Mary. Yeah, you're right. Tell people, look up what the Saturday Night Massacre was. You know, this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something the country's got to go through.
Yeah. And, yeah, but people, you know, if you have a short memory, or if you're just young, too young to know about it, go back and read. You'd be surprised.
They even have YouTube videos on it.
Watergate. There's an excellent CNN series called, the one called the 60s, one called the 70s, one called the 80s, one called the 90s. I think they have one about the early 2000s. And it's all about what happened in each decade, whether it was with news or pop culture. And that is excellent. And I've told a lot of people to see that if they need to educate themselves about what went on. And,
well, there's something interesting I saw the other day. It was from CNBC, and it was called The Original Bagman. And it was talking about the downfall of Vice President Agnew, but he was the tough talker. He was the guy that went out and said really radical things, and then they could kind of distance themselves, much like Mike Pence, was the ultra-conservative on the ticket, and yeah, then you get into, firing attorney generals and are asking them to resign. And Trump's been mad at this guy since he took office and recused himself and said, I'm recusing myself from Russia. And I think Trump has more or less, even maybe out loudly, said, well, that's why I hired you, was to block Russia and tax returns and... Yeah,
what was your job description? So you had one job.
Trump's known for hiring the best group of yes men and women that could be found. So,
yeah. As soon as they stop wanting to say yes, is when he gets rid of them.
Well, my Uncle Harold used to say, something just don't smell right with all this. And I was disappointed that the lady in Georgia didn't win the governorship. But
me too.
But there was a lot of strides made. There was a lot of people. 13% of millennials voted, and that was it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, millennials are the largest voting demographic in America. There's all these youngins that have all this power, don't even realize it.
Yeah, and so only 13% or 30%?
13%.
Oh my God.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's like hard. The age you are when you're in 17, when you're in seventh grade. Yeah, that percentage.
Oh.
I mean, if they came out with a 30% voter turnout, and generically, millennials would be Democrats. They would be supportive. They were Bernie people. So I mean, that's just something interesting.
And they probably had more turnout with them this year than years past, but still only 13%. There still needs to be more. I hate to say it, but it might take a Kardashian to run for something.
I'm more fond of Mayberry than the Kardashians, and I'm probably in the minority. But.
I know, but I'm just saying for the millennials, you know.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Or somebody that they really like, you know, somebody of that generation, whether it's an actor or a music person or, you know, I don't know, somebody that they
really look up to or get in, would get involved, you know, and say, you know, this is, you know, and you know, somehow it's got to take it because, you know, I just saw the Bohemian Rhapsody movie this weekend and, you know, they were showing about the Live Aid concert. And, you know, when I remember in the 80s, you know, when all those musicians, all of a sudden people my age were concerned about what was happening in Africa. Up until that point, were we concerned? Not so much. But all of a sudden it was like, well, geez, you know, this person's getting into that, and this person's getting into that. So it can be done on the youth level, you know, if certain people are speaking out about certain things that they look up to, you know, and if they have to relate to it.
As long as their interest is legitimate, not fashion.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
About 6 months ago, I was talking to a friend of mine. That was back in January, Martin Luther King weekend. And he said, you know, I was at the I Have a Dream speech.
Oh, my gosh.
And wow. I said, how incredible was that? And he said, well, I said, yeah, really, what? That was some social courage. White Jewish kid from New York City going down. And he said, no, there was some girl that I was interested in. And she was going, and we were all going to be on a bus, and somebody else was bringing the weed. And it was a fashionable statement to make if you were living in Greenwich Village in 1963.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
So the public interest has to be created.
Mm-hmm.
There again, back in the late 60s, early 70s, it was the age that millennials are now. Those were the folks that shaped the next 20 years of our country.
Right. The baby boomers were that age then, so it was a youth mm-hmm. movement, and
I'll do you one more. You take it back to World War One. I mean, all those guys that really impacted culture and society, F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The guy from Key West that liked to hunt, Hemingway.
Oh, yes, Hemingway.
And politically, I mean, a lot of those people came out. You know, Eisenhower called his mm-hmm. career during World War One. Harry Truman was a World War One mm-hmm. veteran. And all these guys that are kind of neat parts of history
uh-huh.
were the millennials' age during
uh-huh.
that era, and that took them into public service.
Uh-huh.
You know, whether it was Truman, who probably, I think he ran for like a county judge in Missouri, and was such a nice guy, they put him up for Senate. But, you know, or Eisenhower went through, you know, just stayed in the military. But, you know, I think military people are public servants.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wow.
So the thing that we're faced is a challenge, we gotta get the millennials out there. Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm babbling now.
No, you're not babbling. This is, honey, this is the truth. Hey, guys, what do you say? Could either one of you meet back here next Tuesday or Wednesday and we can continue this discussion? Live.
I'd like that.
Yeah.
Really? Good.
Which
one? Okay. Which one? A Tuesday or Wednesday?
I can do either night, a Tuesday or Wednesday.
I can do either as well.
Okay. How
about
next Tuesday?
Whichever's good for you, Jennifer. Okay.
Next Tuesday, and I'll make it 8 p.m. like I did tonight, so we don't have to. If I have to rush, and we'll stay in touch, and so we'll do this next Tuesday night, and that'd be November the 13th. And I definitely look forward to it. This is Madam Perry, your groove mistress, your cruise director, your spiritual advisor. And I have been thrilled to entertain you. I hope I entertained you to play music. Also, go check out my wonderful sponsors tonight, the Campaign of Love, the Campaign of Love. I didn't get to play them tonight, but I will soon, probably play them next Tuesday. And also, I'll be sharing, the Reverend Peter Unger, because his song, Peddlers of Fear, and it's like
that
the song said, You weren't here, Alan, but the song says whenever there's tension or strife, there's always peddlers of fear. And so go look for the Reverend
Absolutely.
Peter Unger on Reverb Nation. And I will be sharing Reverend Peter Unger and Campaign of Love. I'll be sharing all of their social media on my social media so you can catch it. And my friend Marilyn, my darling friend Marilyn Opitz, she's gorgeous. She looks like Liz Taylor. Young Liz Taylor, very young Liz Taylor. She's a makeup artist, owner of Biba Girl Cosmetics. My friend, my beloved friend, whom I have not seen in too long, Alan Brasington, owner of Bulldog Marketing, and the last, help me, elegant, aristocratic, the last aristocratic Southern Democrat alive. Yes.
It's a gift.
Okay.
I don't own it, baby.
Just wait until I get my tour bus and take Madame Perry's Salon the show on the road. Won't we have a great time?
Oh, that's so
great. We need to do that. Be like the days when we did stand up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Alan and I did stand-up together. So, yeah, so we're going to take this. That is my dream. People hear me talk about it all the time. If you're listening and have a van that you want to share or rent us real cheap or just want to drive because you know you'd have a good time on this party bus, then let me know. Then we will take this show on the road, as we say in France. And I love you all. And, hey, Marilyn and – Alan, do you have a copy of my CD, Everybody's Got to Swing?
No.
It's got this song on it.